Chapter 22.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
Finally stepping out of the darkness into their usual cell was a relief. The past 2 days had been exhausting. John had gotten no sleep the night after the initial council meeting, and the meeting today had dragged on as well. While, objectively, it was important to give his statement and have Dark Woman denounced as a Jedi, the process was also agonizing. He found that it wasn't just with Master Mace that his words were slow to come. He needed the Masters to ask him question after question to fill in the blanks of his time with Dark Woman, beyond what just his scars showed. The result was that she was no longer welcome among the Jedi, so at least it was worth it. Things had been better when Obi-Wan was called into the second part of the meeting. John felt immediately more settled once he had laid eyes on his friend. He still had a Padawan braid behind his ear, and he didn't look visibly injured. He did look exhausted, but so did John, so he figured he had no right to judge. There had been a lot of words and assurances about better monitoring Padawan's health and safety with their masters. New policies proposed about check-ins after each mission and less leniency around breaks in their often demanding assignment schedules. John thought it all sounded nice, and Obi-Wan's face was pleasantly neutral, but he could tell that his friend didn't really believe they would follow through. The masters had asserted they would each be getting several weeks off from duties to adjust to the new circumstances. And then, they'd asked a question about the creche, and Obi-Wan entirely shut down. Obi-Wan loved his creche mates, John knew, and he had dozens of stories of childhood mischief and joy and happiness there that John soaked up like a sponge. He tried to imagine himself there as one of the younger members of Obi-Wan's clan, loved and cared for. When Obi-Wan had been painting the walls of one of the playrooms with his clan, John had been training, tossed down a mountain to practice his force falls. John liked to pretend, in the safety of his own mind, that he'd really been tucked safely in the temple all those years. But later on, when things with Bruck had flared up, and the pressure of being chosen as a Padawan had begun to grow, John knew that Obi-Wan's light-filled childhood had soured considerably. Those latter years were at least the foundation of some of Obi-Wan's crippling insecurities. So, John wasn't surprised when his friend shut down. The council meeting had ended after that, but John still hadn't been left to his own devices. He'd been shuffled off to spend time with Deppa, who he trusted marginally more than anyone except Obi-Wan. John's words still hesitated with her, but they came easier than they did with the Masters. Obi-Wan had been busy all day too. With what, John didn't know, but when he brushed against his friend's force presence, he'd often been distracted. Now, free of his lineage's gaze, deep in their favorite cell in the temple, John could finally breathe. He hoped Obi-Wan was up for sparring. John had a great deal of anxious energy to burn. Not even 10 minutes later, Obi-Wan stepped out of a shadow into their space. "John," Obi-Wan said, looking pleased, "I was worried you might not come tonight." "Of course I came," John said softly. It hadn't even occurred to him to doubt that Obi-Wan would be here. "Are you all right?" The question should have been enough to assuage his worry, but he found himself taking several steps toward Obi-Wan, stopping just outside of his reach. Most of John longed to reach out. They had become increasingly tactile with each other, and had spent almost all of yesterday attached at the hip, but John was unmoored, unsteady. He felt like he did when he first arrived at the temple, skittish and afraid. His words with Obi-Wan still flowed easily, but he hesitated with touch instead. The last step was insurmountable. Obi-Wan evidently had no such concerns, because he closed the distance between them easily. His friend tucked John into his arms, under his chin, in an embrace so encompassing that it felt like he might disappear. Without his conscious input, John's hands rose to fist in the back of Obi-Wan's robes. He trembled. It was like the weight of the past 2 days hit him all at once. Yesterday had been a blur of adrenaline, from his injury in a Taru class, to revealing his scars, to comforting Obi-Wan and fleeing into the depths of the temple. He'd barely been on his feet by the time they'd met with the Council, and then he'd spent the night cycle in essentially one long panic attack. Now they were safe, both of them, and somewhere John's mind had labeled as secure. At least his tears were silent. "John?" Obi-Wan asked, voice faintly alarmed. Thankfully, he didn't loosen his arms. In fact, his Force presence curled around John's, an extra hug. "Are you all right?" John snorted. It was a snotty sound, mostly muffled by Obi-Wan's robes. Not really, he whispered. He thought of what to say, what Dark Woman would have hurt him most for saying, but she wasn't here, and the Jedi didn't want to be associated with her anymore. He took the plunge. "I was scared." Because Obi-Wan was perfect, the best friend that John could have asked for, he understood precisely the magnitude of that confession. Obi-Wan sank to the ground, and John went with him. Usually he'd protest sitting in Obi-Wan's lap like a youngling, but right now he needed it badly. "I'm sorry," Obi-Wan whispered. "I made you take care of me yesterday." John shook his head fiercely, even as he kept his face buried in Obi-Wan's robes. "Shut up, we took care of each other, and now it's my turn for a breakdown." Obi-Wan gave a startled laugh. "I think it's maybe a bad sign that we're passing breakdowns back and forth like a hot tuber," he said wryly. John snorted again. They sat like that for a long time, until John had come down from his emotional whirlwind. That anxious energy that he'd been so ready to release in a spar was nowhere to be seen. He felt tired down to the bone. When he pulled back, the other Padawan let him go easily. Obi-Wan's smile was pure affection, judgment nowhere in sight. It made John feel settled. "Shall we set up our nest?" Obi-Wan asked. While John was all for that idea, there was something he needed to check first. "Is that nerf herder Jin still your master?" Obi-Wan sputtered. "John, Master Jin isn't..." He deflated at John's pointed look. "Fine, and no, I have a new master." John straightened, immediately more awake and interested. "Is it Deppa? Why did she spend all day with me then?" Obi-Wan flushed. "No, it's not Knight Balaba. Master Koon offered. He said it wasn't out of pity, but because he thought I was a good Jedi." Obi-Wan sounded far too disbelieving for John's taste. "Your new master has a brain, at least," John grumbled. "You're an amazing Jedi, Obi-Wan." Obi-Wan let out a sound not unlike a tea kettle boiling over. "Yes, well," he cleared his throat. "The Mind Healers unraveled my training bond with Master Jin, and now I have a bond with Master Koon. It feels different compared to the other one." John understood that sensation perfectly. Master Koon... John hadn't had much opportunity to interact with the Keldor personally, but he also hadn't felt anything threatening from the Master in the Force. The choice was acceptable, for now. He would be keeping a close eye on Obi-Wan, both his physical status and his mental health. If Koon wasn't up to snuff, John would figure something out. "You'll get to join me in my Council Padawan duties," John said, slowly. Obi-Wan brightened. "Yes, you'll have to show me the ropes." John would do his best, but based on what he knew about Obi-Wan, his friend was much more suited for politicking than John anyway. A new gossip buddy would be nice, though. Naimi would probably like him. A wave of exhaustion crashed over him. His expression must have given him away somehow, because Obi-Wan's entire face softened. "But for now, let's sleep, my friend." John nodded. Rather than stand, he used the Force to pull all of their pilfered pillows and blankets to where they were sitting. Obi-Wan's expression was long-suffering, but he didn't complain. Curled up together in a nest of soft things, John closed his eyes and let sleep sweep him away. Master Koon was confusing. Obi-Wan didn't quite know how to anticipate him, how to act and react. He was a calm and gentle presence, like Obi-Wan remembered from the creche, but it was different to have him as a master. He'd been gentle, rebraiding Obi-Wan's hair. The joint meditation they'd done together to solidify their bond had been nothing like the chaotic disaster he'd experienced with Master Qui-Gon in transit to Findar. He never criticized Obi-Wan, not even when he was wrong. He only acknowledged Obi-Wan's thoughts and asked guiding questions to lead him to the right conclusions. Master Kun trained with him, personally. Some part of him knew that shouldn't be a big deal, but Master Qui-Gon had almost never initiated training sessions. Every now and then, yes, but Obi-Wan had gained much of his practice by seeking out seminars to join or asking unsuspecting knights. By contrast, Master Kun meditated with him every morning after first meal and sparred with him every day. When Obi-Wan worked on coursework in the evenings, Master Kun was nearby, working on flimsy work or reading for pleasure. He checked in to see if Obi-Wan needed help. If he said no, Master Kun didn't push it, but if he said yes, Obi-Wan found that the master was incredibly skilled at explaining things in a way he understood. Even stranger, Master Kun kept reminding him to eat. By habit, that first morning, Obi-Wan had gone to fix himself a cup of tea and nothing else before the start of his day. Master Kun had politely inquired if he was going to make anything more. When Obi-Wan had said no, Master Kun had simply nodded and made him first meal. He'd sat at the table with Obi-Wan while he ate. Even though the master could only eat his own meal in his hermetically sealed room, he had calmly sat with Obi-Wan as he poked at his food and made small talk about his plans for the day. It all was, quite frankly, bizarre. Every day after that, Master Kun had prepared him first meal. Though they often ate mid-meal separately, his master usually pinged his comm to remind him to go to the commissary. And he always made sure that Obi-Wan ate late meal, whether that be with Jon or with him. Obi-Wan hadn't eaten this many consistent meals in years. Master Qui-Gon was a horrid cook, and things were often chaotic on missions. Melodon and Bandimir were their own monster, but frequently, Obi-Wan just forgot. He tended to get so absorbed in what he was doing that things like nutrients slipped his mind. Not all of the bad habits could be attributed to his previous master, considering that he'd been hyper-focusing on things since the crash. Not even a week into having Master Kun as his master, Obi-Wan couldn't take it anymore. Master Kun had made a delicious meal, something with tubers and a curry-like sauce that he'd apparently learned to cook on a mission. As had become their usual, the master set a portion of it aside for himself and settled at the table with Obi-Wan. "And how was your day, little one? Did you get mid-meal with Padawan Antilles?" Master Kun asked, sending waves of care warmth down their fledgling bond. Obi-Wan swallowed his bite. "It was good, Master. I worked on some of my assignments in the archive after mid-meal. Jon and I took lunch in the Room of 1,000 Fountains. Master Kun radiated pleasure, and Obi-Wan didn't know what to do with it. "That sounds like an excellent day. I also enjoy taking my meals with friends in the gardens." That was as good an opportunity as Obi-Wan could ask for. "About that," Obi-Wan cleared his throat. He looked down at his plate so that he didn't have to make eye contact. "It's okay if you eat in your own room, Master, and don't sit with me while I eat. I don't want you to be hungry or your food to go cold." Master Kun made a small noise. When Obi-Wan looked up, his expression was as calm and neutral as ever through his respirator. "Eating with you is no burden to me, Padawan. I find that mealtimes are a nice moment in the day to bond and catch up." Obi-Wan flushed. Master Kun had managed to cut right to the heart of the matter, as always. "Unless me doing so makes you uncomfortable." Obi-Wan quickly shook his head. "No," he assured. "Not at all. I'm just used to taking my meals alone," he finished lamely. Master Kun hummed, deep in his throat. "Well, that will not be the case with me as your master, I'm afraid. I may get caught up in council business occasionally, but you are my priority." Obi-Wan absolutely turned red once more. He hid his embarrassment behind another bite of food and pretended it was the spice that made his chest feel so warm. End of chapter 22.